Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible, it'll tell you what to do.
Good morning, my name is Gray Bunn, and I am 11 years old. You're listening to Free on the Inside, my papa, Diggy Joe Lewis.
Well, hello, welcome once again to our weekly internet program. I'm your host, Brother Joel Lewis, and you're listening to Free on the Inside, an internet program to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all you could be in Christ Jesus. We're in for a great time this morning. We have two guests on the program this morning, and as I met them, it touched my heart. And, you know, we're going to talk about sex trafficking. And, you know, that's something that we never really think about. But we have two missionaries that's on the front line that's facing those and challenging that way of lifestyle. And we're going to bring them on, and they're going to share with us the things that go along with that and how they're attempting to bring young men and women out of that lifestyle. This morning, I'd like to welcome Sunshine and Velma to our program this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome, ladies. Welcome. I'm excited to have you on this morning. Now, Sunshine, will you say hello to our listening audience?
Yes. Hello and good morning to everybody who is here this morning to listen to some information that is really would touch your heart, your mind and spirit, not only being a human, but being a child of God. Thank you. Thank you for
great
having us.
Well, God bless you. Now, Velma, will you say hello to our listening audience?
Good morning, audience. It is a blessing to be awake this morning and be able to share our story with you today.
All right. And then we have a phone, we have our phone lines that are open right now. The number, the contact number, where you two can call into the program and ask some questions or just give our guests words of encouragement. That number would be 310-982-4126. Again, that call-in number so you two can join the conversation will be 310-982-4126. Now, ladies, will you tell me about what is sex trafficking?
Human sex trafficking is the illegal way of putting some predators of selling the bodies that is not their will and against their beliefs and will and victimize children, women, young men to this agenda so that they can get money from them. And this is like selling people to do and perform things that are immoral so that they can have that money exchange to the person, whoever is selling them, and also giving them information that it will better them from all over the world. These people come even to their parents and say, let me have your children so that they will have a better future. And this will be them working, and I will take care of them, and I will take care of you, promising things that are not there because these people are looking for something so that they can better themselves. And some instances, it is against their will. They are just kidnapped, drugged, and sold to sex slavery.
Oh, my God, my God. Now, Velma, tell me, how did you get involved in something like this?
Well, actually, it was Sunshine who had gone to the Philippines, and she told me what a good time she had in the Lord and how she was able to introduce the gospel of Jesus Christ to people who were non-believers and those that were bound by religion, and they were in the Catholicism, and how easily they were converted to Christianity. And I thought, wow, that is really good. It's something that's so different from America, because if you stand on the corner in America, people look at you like, you know, this is something that's unusual. But there, people were so open. So I thought, gosh, I'd like to go and see what, experience this and see what it's about. So when we did go there, we did find these kids who lived in the cemetery, and there were about 1,000 or more of them. And we looked into the background of these children, and we were told that the parents could not afford the kids. They had too many in a home, maybe 7 or 8, so they had to let 1 or 2 go. And these kids didn't have anywhere else to go, so they congregated in the cemetery. So
you know,
that is when it began.
You know, that was a fascinating, it blew my mind when I heard about people living in the cemetery, because we, you know, here in the States, we think about cemetery as being a place where dead people go, and it's just somewhere where we just lay our loved ones there, and that's it. But you actually have people that's living in the cemeteries.
Yes, yes.
And so, Sunshine, will you please talk to us about that, address that issue that you're facing as you go to the Philippines and various places?
Yes. You know, Brother Joel, I have grown in the Philippines, educated in the Philippines, and I never realized and I never knew that there are people, children especially, that are living in the cemetery, and they're homeless, and they are called houses without stairs, because out of the tombs that are there in the cemetery, you put plywood in there, and then lay their heads and sleep. But since these cemeteries are huge, there are predators also who go there. And because the people in the cemetery that live there are extremely poor, so they offer them food. And in exchange, they want them some sex or sell them to other people who come in there and have some sex. So some people take them to hotels, to motels, but some are happening right then and there. So broke my heart. It just affected me that this situation in this time occur, and while other people take advantage of this situation to these people, to make it even worse for them, that they are already living in the cemetery, needs of something to eat, and they will be exposed and taking advantage of performing more. And this even just, they give 50 cents per sex. And it is not, it's more than an insult to their humanization, to their dignity, to their existence, that some people could just swallow and could have that kind of thinking, that kind of darkness that pierces throughout their heart, and they are offering this several times a day to the same person. Can you just imagine of those kind that out of your, you don't want it, but the offer is for you to have this exchange of little money so that they can eat.
Yes, yes. And so, now, Sunshine, how did you get involved in this ministry here? Because that seemed like quite an undertaking.
Yes. Well, we never thought about it, that this is really existing. But then somebody invited us and said to us that, come to this place because they really need help. They really need somebody to pray for them, somebody to tell them that they care. We went there And behold, we have seen the situation that I have never experienced, to see children all over the place that live there practically every day of their life, from sundown to nighttime. And I ask them, where do you sleep? Because I don't see any bed over here. So when we get started, these people are open. These people are smiling at you, but you can see the pain inside of their heart. They are trying to reach out. And we have talked to the parents, talked to every individual of them. They want something. They are willing to do something that us people who are free can reach out to them. So you never intended to find these people, but it's there presented to you. So I'm thinking, who are going to help them? Who are going to present it to them? Who will help them to see hope for them? So we people that have come. So I cried. And I cried and I cried, Lord, is this a way for us to reach them to know you? So, Lord, this is the situation that when you don't have even time to think about it, automatically you just want to reach out so that they can have hope in their life and transformation of their lives.
Oh, yes, yes. And now tell me, where have your ministry carried you so far? I know your primary ministry in the Philippine Islands. What other places have you been with this ministry?
Well, we have realized that it opened up in the Philippines, but we have realized that this is also going on locally over here. And in fact, we have met other people who does street ministry. And last Sunday, that's the latest, last Sunday, we have encountered a lady that has been in that situation and gotten information, and she was receptive to the kind of help. So locally in emergency rooms, there are a lot of people that needed help because they have infections going on.
Yes.
So locally in the truck stops, in the gasoline stations where the trucks are, you could see, if you will observe, that there are, at nighttime, women, young children, average of 13-year-old, 14-year-old, are brought down to these trucks, and they offer their service after they are let out of the car from their pimps, you know. Then they are let out of the car and go to a nut in the truck one by one and offer this kind of sex services over there. And if that person is looking for this kind of immoral sex, you know, right then and there it happened. So everywhere, even in the grocery store, our antenna, so to speak, are really open to forecast, to scan, and to observe the surroundings where somebody might need some help that are being forced to do these things. Emergency room, doctors are training right now. What are the signs that these people are obliged and under the care of those people? And most of the time, these children, they're male or female, and also women, they are under drugs, who are dependent to these people who supply them. So when they are addicted to that thing, you know, the most thing is they obey whatever that predators would tell them. And it is up to us to observe and report if you have observed this kind of illogical, just illicit, immoral sex. And even the truck driver or even the people who receive this kind of invitation from young women, I urge them, please report, please, because this will always help these people to stop. When somebody is under drugs, they cannot help themselves. Somebody from outside has to initiate that help.
You know, that is so, so true. Now, as you were sharing with us about offering them help, what type of help are you able to give someone that's living that type of lifestyle? I know it varies from country to country and from situation to situation, but as your ministry is going forth, what are you having to offer the young men and women a way out of that type of lifestyle? Because you become addicted to that type of lifestyle, whether you want to do it or not, it become a lifestyle to you. So what are you offering them to get them out of that lifestyle?
Well, first of all,
you're
speaking to me.
Yes, go ahead. Then Sunshine,
okay, Velma,
I want you to follow
ahead.
Up on that. Yes, Velma.
Oh, what we're doing right now and the support that we need actually is just sometimes it's just Sunshine and I. We do what we have to do. And when we go there, we find ourselves in need of medicine and food and also, a program that we are putting in place right now is a way that we can reach out to parents of kids that are at risk for that, those parents who or maybe live in the mountains or in the remote regions of the Philippines, to develop a program where we can educate those parents, that those people who present themselves as someone who is coming to help their family, who could take those kids to the U.S. and educate them, that that's not always true. And what they actually do is bring them to the U.S. and they bound them to a bed or a little small area, and they are used and abused each and every day. And that is not what they want for their kids. It's not that they're just selling them to people. It's just that those people are promising them a better way of life. And they're thinking that that is happening. So we want to develop a program where we can be able to have people to go out and talk to those people to help prevent this as well. So we find that the kids need care, medical care as well, and also we want to be able to connect with other churches and organizations to go out and to minister to them, to show them love and support and help them to feel a sense of self-worth.
All right, that is so true. And I see what you're saying, education. We need to educate
mm-hmm.
the parents and those and like-minded people that this is going on, that there's help.
Yes.
Now, Sunshine, would you follow up on that also? What are y'all offering a program that you have embedded in the ministry to help the young men and women get out of this lifestyle?
Well, first of all, we try to connect them locally with people who are working in the same category with us. If they have halfway houses, you know, they have a chance to get out of that. In other countries, in the Philippines, you know, the thing that the most important is to feed them physically. When they are in that situation that they are not connected anymore and sustaining their basic needs from that situation, then we connect with other organizations there in the Philippines because, or in other countries because we are not there all the time. So we one-to-one or little groups minister to them and teach them who they are in Christ, because when they know who they are in Christ, about their body, that they are the temple of God, and they realize their worth, first of all, then they would do second thinking before even going to that kind of life, no matter what, how hungry you are, because there is always some help. And then when we show love, God's love to them, with the cooperation of other people around it, and then they, the plan is to get the feeding program going on, that at least we can eat a day. And the long-term wise is for them to be in a house where there is house mother, house father, to take care of them. And then in the future, build some housing for them and school, educate them. And at the same time, when they are already stabilized, they can help themselves, and at the same time, they can help others through documentary, through videos of education, that they can help other people also. Right now, we have to work synergistically with other people.
Sunshine, you still there?
Yes, I'm here. I don't know what happened. But anyway,
okay, I think,
we have to work synergistically and identify them with some people. There are doctors that are working with them, identifying or helping them when they have infections. So collaboratively, we work with whom, whatever they need, so that they can be helped, and at the same time, bring whoever the people that can help to them. So we offer them not only realizing where they are, and at the same time connect with proper, even authorities to help them.
You know, as you were sharing this, your experience with the with our young men and women that's in the Philippines that's living in the cemeteries, and you were saying that they refer to them as home, as houses without stairs. You know, and I was just thinking about how you could live in a situation like that so long that you get accustomed to that type of lifestyle. And how God have allowed men and women to go and try to disrupt that lifestyle, or to disrupt that lifestyle. And my hat goes off to you and Velma and the people that assist y'all, because I know that's quite an undertaking. Because as you go down there, sometimes you feel like that the task is too great. But I know on the backside of that, you have seen how what you are doing and what other ministries are doing are changing the lives of people that it encounter. Will you give us some insight on how the ministry that you are part of, how it's changing the lives of young men and women from that lifestyle to a glorious lifestyle?
Yes. First of all, when you are in front of them, you just give out that love. That this is priceless, because when you give God's love and you touch their life, touch their head, pray over them, somewhere that God's spirit just is awakened within them. And then when they do, you allow them just to express, allow them, so many just cry out. And then during this time too, they are willing to be helped. They are willing to help. They are willing to be helped. And when these things are uncovered and they realize that this is not the kind of living that they want, this is not the normal thing to do, then they start to accumulate and start giving out. Oh, Lord, how can I escape this kind of life? So that time, they are being aware. So first is awareness where they are, because somebody had touched them, had said to them, had given help to them, that, wow, this is not the kind of life I want. And every day, I have been in there, and not only taken advantage, but abused. I want a better life. And when this realization comes to these people, so we bring awareness also to other people. They are willing to take the steps to recover and be liberated as victims and uncover that this previously veiled underworld of sex slavery is behind already with them. So this deceptive veil of undercurrent of injustice that hides in this exploitation and dehumanization of young women, young children, young boys, then the root of this crisis is a culture to be embraced, that the fundamental of justification of these victims are open to light. So when we have been presented with this, we as person, it is our vision that we will not only oppose sex slavery, we should do more in order to disrupt the culture of exploitation. There's the challenge of attitudes that cause the demand for illicit sex. So men, you have the chance and to repent what has been done. What have you been doing to these children? So it's a sick world. It is dark world out there. So these people, when they wake up, they are willing to tell the whole world that, yes, this is going on. What are these captives doing now? So physically, their needs are to be met first. And then two, a safety is very important. Number three is for them, when they are in, out already, they are not in anymore, but they are out already of this kind of lifestyle. That is not the normal lifestyle. They say to themselves, I am willing to do what needs to be done so that I cannot go back anymore to that kind of lifestyle. But they have to be free first of what they crave for life, because when these people, predators, know that flesh will be looking for the drugs, and they are the only one that can supply those drugs, so it is harder for that person. But when they come clean, when they come clean and presented with God's love, you know, God can do everything. Do you know that there's nothing impossible? But somebody has to speak that word to them, that their situation is not permanent. It's going to take a decision for them to go to the other side, where they allow themselves to be helped, and people are willing to help first and give that love to them, that yes, they are significant. They don't have to stay in that kind of life. And the Word of God speaks volume to their heart, to their mind, to their spirit, that I am awaking. I want to run away. I want to run away with this kind of life to the section where somebody can reach out for me. Because most of the time, Brother Joel, they cannot help themselves. Somebody has to, in the hand, has to be willing to minister to them one-on-one.
Oh, that is so true. That is so true. Velma. Oh, I see Velma. She's calling back in. We're going to bring her in here right quick. Hello, Velma?
Yes.
Yes, I see. Thank you for calling back. Velma, as Shanshan was sharing with us, the importance it is for us to be involved in this type of ministry. What does this here mean to you, since you're down the front line?
Your recording has reached the maximum length. To replay your message, press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4. To cancel this message, press star. To send this message now, press pound or hang up.
Yes, are you still there, Velma?
Yeah,
I'm here.
Okay, great. I guess
to replay your message, press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4. To cancel this message, press star. To send this message now, press pound or hang up.
All right, then, Velma, since we're going to clear that phone line here, Sunshine.
To replay your message, press
1.
To delete.
Yes.
That was okay. Okay, great. Sorry about that. That's what calling in and out the studio. So those things happen. Now, Sunshine, will you tell us now, as you come back from those type of missions, their journeys and trips, as you sharing it with ministries in the state, how has your ministry been effective here to help you expand your ministry abroad?
We have some pictures, we have some video, and we have also taken steps of talking to some of the doctors that help to take care of them. Wherever we go, we hold seminars also. We hold small meetings, big meetings, and share with them that the kind of life, existence are really happening around the world, and especially in the Philippines. So, you know, the Philippines is the third country biggest in the slavery, and I never even knew that. And when people hear and know that there are children living in the cemetery for life and for existence, it is just, they couldn't just believe it. So we want to let people know that, yes, we have been privileged to be here in America. Yes, there are a lot of advantages for us. Too much has been given to us by the good Lord. And it is up to us and every one of them that know and hear of the plight of those children and women is willing to say, I want to be involved. So these are also ways that there are people who hear this, who want to come and be involved and go to mission work. There are people that cannot travel because of present situations and their families over here, but they want to get involved and would like to donate for kinds, for their medicines, for their foods, for clothing. And there are people that would introduce somebody to us who would like to be involved in any kind. And there are people that are praying for us that the right kind of people and the right kind of openness and transparency, both for the victims and for their families and also people that will come across like you. You have helped us, Brother Jewel, to make this a heightened awareness for people who have not heard about children that are being abused and sold to human sex trafficking that is happening everyday life. We think that it is just normal, that there is nothing more, even living in and being sold to human sex trafficking things, and very,
yes, you know,
very not a good situation to be, and yet some people make it worse.
Yes, they do. And I see you have a passion for. Now, I'm going to bring Velma in here, and I want to ask her a question regarding what you just said. Hey, Velma?
Yes.
I want to know, why are you so passionate about this type of ministry? Because we realize there's challenges that's involved in this here, but there's a great need. What allows you to go time after time?
Oh, gosh, I guess it's just the Holy Spirit. I wake up in the morning, even when I'm here in the U.S., and my heart is in the Philippines, and they are such humble and great people, so it's just something about them that makes me just want to, actually, I would like to live there.
there's such a need there. And we're so spoiled here in the United States. We have everything. Even the ones that think that we don't have, we do, when it's compared to what they have. And it's just such a blessing. And I'm so passionate about this because I love kids. And who can take care of the kids? They can't take care of themselves. Yeah. And when we think about the sex trafficking, we're thinking that it's there. It's very open, and you can see that it's going on. But here in the United States, I just like to let people be aware that it is really big in the United States as well. In fact, we are sex trafficking is the third largest illegal market that's going on right now. They earn $32 billion is generated every year of profit just in that industry. We have people here in the United States buying kids on the Internet. 40% of the children are from the U.S. on the Internet. They're sold on Craigslist, they're on the Backpage.com, and even in the social media. So it's something that we're just looking over. In February of this year, even in Dallas, they had shut down a lot of places there in the Plano area, that it just seems like people just looked over that. It's happening right here. There were at least, I think there were like 10 places that were closed down, and that's what they were doing, human trafficking. There in the United States, there are 300,000 per year the children are taken away from their homes. They're being abducted, and the predators are coming to places like the grocery stores, the clothing stores, ice cream parlors, shopping centers, and they are preying on naive girls, girls who are overweight, and the isolated ones that standing in the corner, and it's so easy to do. So
I never thought about that. Because, you know, my ministry primarily, too, I do street ministry, jail, juvenile, and I know about the illicit drugs and the sex that goes on. But I never think about the trafficking, you know.
Yeah.
I never think about how we may see some people walking in. Who knows? Maybe they've been held in bondage. Maybe they're being subject to
exactly.
sexual, you know, a lifestyle that they're not accustomed to. And we don't think nothing of it. And it could be,
yes.
you know. It is something else. I think about how people that kidnapped some young ladies up north, and they kept them for like 10 years, you know, in isolation.
Yes.
And some people could just, you know, have people in bondage that long. And I am so glad that you're bringing this to the forefront here, you and Sunshine, and sharing that with our listening audience, because there's a need to be aware of these things here. But before I go back to Sunshine, I wanted to ask you, how do you? And I'm going to ask Sunshine the same thing. How do you manage? How do you handle? How do you manage your discomfort? Because as you go to these places, it breaks your heart. As you go to these places, you seem to be overwhelmed. How do you go about managing your discomfort in difficult situations?
Oh, I just pray, and I just ask God to give me the strength and give me the words to say that I may be able to comfort these kids, because, you know, the average age of these victims are like 12 to 13, but we do have kids there who are as young as 3 years old, and that really tears your heart. We were able last year to be able to go to a place called a safe house. It's a place kind of in the mountains, and we were able to see the kids there who were victims of this. They have a group of people who will go out and rescue them from the victims, and of course they have to be in a secret place because the predators are really upset about that, and they are dangerous people. So it was really sad to see that, especially the babies. What do they know? And they didn't even have a chance in life. So I just pray, and I just ask God to give me strength to be able to minister to these kids.
Exactly. Now, Sunshine, I want to ask you the same question. How do you manage to handle your discomfort as you done seen these things? I can only imagine, but you done actually been there. You done seen these kids living in tombs and living beneath their privilege, God-given privilege. How do you handle manage that year after year, day after day, outing after outing?
Yes. Well, we have to stay prayed up. so not only us praying, but all other people that was and what we do is for us to be prayed up and also make a decision that this is love of God that we do. So we ask that strength from Him, that as human beings we are weak, and how can we be able to stand in front of them, show them, touch them. You know, the love of God is from our spirit, and they have that spirit, and God's spirit is just with us and help us and stand up and be the voice and be the lips and be the hands and be the feet for Him, because for us, we are weak. We cannot. It is the strength from God that inspires us, that this is what Jesus wants us to do, is to reach out and love them and guide them and help them. Because this situation of them, it is really that I want all this, that the love of God will be revealed to them, to the victims, to the families, and the truth where they are, that all mankind who are in the sex slavery tribes is always hidden in the shadows. I ask God to give us strength that in order to prevent this injustice from continuing, we must, those people who hear from now must shine, must light their life on it. So we should be the committed to let people know the reality of this slavery is the conscience of society. So when people comes and help, that make us stronger, that there is confirmation that people really do care and are willing to reach out to these people. So inspire me. It inspires me. Last Sunday, when a lady heard about this plight of children, she just cried and cried and cried and cried that things are happening. It gives me strength to let other people know that that we must not only know, but respond to them and help them. So other people's love make us stronger. And for you to put us here so that there is an heightened awareness, Brother Jewel, you give us light. You give light to the situation where there is knowing pain, that there is shame and indignation of this condition, yet you, not only as a human being, but as a child of God, you want people to hear about this and of awareness. So thank you for letting your shine, letting the light in so that other people may know. So that inspires us. So it's God thing.
You two have been great guests, Velma and Sunshine. Y'all have been great guests. As you are sharing a light on this human sex trafficking, and it's something that we just don't even know, and it'd be right in our midst here. But I was just thinking about scripture that you were sharing, both of you ladies, and it was saying that Jesus said that when you are restored, you to strengthen your brother. And then he said, when you do it to the least of them, you're doing it unto
the least of them.
And Sunshine, you said something, a lot of times we challenge ourselves, Lord, what would you have me to do? You know, being the hands and the feet and the heart of God, that's what he's asking us to do, just to be involved in the life of someone. Help change a life in Jesus' name. My sisters, I want to encourage y'all to keep doing what you're doing. I want to encourage y'all to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I want to encourage you that there's someone out there that needs you to intervene in their lives. And I thank God of assigning y'all, you two ladies, and the other people that you work to for a particular task. And can't nobody do it like y'all for this time and this season here. And so, Esrina, I always ask our guests that, what makes you do this? Because we need to know without a shadow of a doubt that it's God that allows us to do this. There's nothing special about what we're doing. Only through the grace and the mercy of God. And thank you. But before we go, tell us how we can get more information on this human sex trafficking.
The site is called Living Waters World Ministries, and you click on information for human sex trafficking. And at the same time, we have a website called, an email. Email to us if you need more information on how you, if you want to get involved, is livingwaters2008@gmail.com. So we are free with our phone numbers. If you can get our phone numbers, this is a direct phone, which is 469-96-686. And at the same time, research it, what is going on around the world. Don't stop where you only hear this, because like-minded, like people, if you are there with your heart quenching because of this situation, let it out. Let it out. Tell the people that you are willing. First, it is you have felt it in your heart that if this thing happened, that we believe and you believe that no human should be sold. No human should be sold because of the dignity and spirit of God. Then reach out. We are here for a purpose on earth, not only to exist for ourselves, but to reach out to the least of people. And the Lord said in the Bible that if you do this for the least of my people, you do that for me. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was just thinking, is there a local network or somewhere, if you suspect these type things, where you might be able to drop them a call anonymous? Because a lot of times people don't want to be involved. I don't want to get involved. Do they have a number where you can call to anonymous and just say, hey, I would like to report something that I'm uncomfortable with?
Yes, the best thing is 911.
Okay. Yeah. Now, it's as simple as that. And that, you know what? That is simple. That's that. Just 911. You know, and a lot of times people say, I don't want to be involved. Now, I tell you what, before we get ready to go, because it's been a great show, but I want to ask each one of you this question. I want you to answer it. Now, what would you tell someone that say, I would like to be involved in some of this, but I don't feel like I have enough in me to do what God allowed me, you know, what I perceive in my heart? Will you please share with us that, Velma, if you had a young lady or someone that says, hey, I want to be a part of this ministry, but I don't have what it takes, how would you encourage them?
For those that feel that they don't have what it takes, so all of us actually have what it takes. We are all to help one another. If you feel like you cannot physically do it, that you can't go to the Philippines or anywhere else that we could go, a monetary gift is appreciated because there's so much that's needed there. Actually, you could feed one child for $1. You could feed them breakfast, lunch, and dinner there in the Philippines. So it could help just by extending that grace to them.
That is so true. That's so, you know, we take that for granted. A dollar, you know, we said a dollar is very much, but a dollar means a lot to people that are less fortunate. That's in other countries. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sunshine, would you please share with us, if someone was to say, Sunshine, I won't do this, but I'm scared, I'm fearful, I don't know if I have what it takes, what words of encouragement would you give them?
Well, first of all, we would like to enlighten that person that there's nothing to be scared of but to speak out. And then number two, we would like to know that is there a way that you are willing to help in any way? So we kind of like expand it with that person. And then when you pray with them before even they start talking, now the strength that's coming from our Savior, you know, then that person is able to extend what she wants to extend. We would like to know that in what capacity she wants to help. And then we ask them too, you pray. You pray for the situation. You pray for us. And in that way, when there is enlightening, we invite them to come and meet with us so that we can enlighten more for that person. Or if it is in the phone, that we can reach out for that person that really wants to be involved but yet is not bold enough or confident enough to be in the forefront. So there are so many ways. Some people start with small things to get involved, to help, and then it becomes bold and bolder later on because it makes them feel good to reach out that in their existence that they have not thought that they can help. They were a big help. Even writing a letter to those victims is a good way to start. Hey, that I heard about your plight. I am concerned. Just extending their love through letters, you know, that is a big help. And then presenting to them what they can do. And the other area of children can hear that there is somebody somewhere caring for us is a big help already to these people. So you start where you are. You start where you are because God will allow it.
Now tell us now, as this year is coming to a close now, what projects or what ministry do you have coming up in the next year so we can pray for you and we'll know what God is laying on your heart to do in this ministry? What is your next outing and what places will you be going to?
Yeah, we're going to the Philippines and we have an invitation to go to Thailand and Australia also. So over here, we are preparing for a trip to the Philippines for this year, for next month. And we would like people to pray for us. And at the same time, if they can help for the, even for foods, you know, contributions, because it takes a village to help, that would be well appreciated. And out of this, too, we are making a documentaries, videos that would enlighten other people who are not involved with this and at the same time measures that these people will learn so that they can help themselves and at the same time help others. So our trip is designated and we will definitely be around with this human sex trafficking and extend to them their love. For those people who would like to extend their love, yeah, we welcome you.
That's great. Again, what's that website so our listening audience can know to go to that site and make any type of contribution? Just get more information regarding this human sex trafficking. Again, what's that site?
Mm-hmm. The site is livingwatersworldministries.org. ORG, and then click on human sex trafficking. And I would like to update our phone number. It's 469-396-6806. And you can also email us at livingwaters2008@gmail.com.
Amen. Amen. Ladies, this has been a great show here. I am very delighted about you being on here. It's a light that have went on in my head here. I am speechless when it comes to this because these are things that I'm unaware of. You know, I do jail ministry and do prison ministry, but the human sex trafficking, I never thought much of it, but I'm glad to see that there's other people thinking about it when I'm not thinking about it, you know, and that's God-given right there. And so I ask you to continue to do what you're doing and to be strong in the Lord. And we pray that each time you go out and share the gospel with our young men and women and as you minister to them through clothes and food, that they can see the hand of God and they can have a sense that they are valuable.
Yes.
You know, because that's the most important thing is to kind of, you know, let them know that they have self-worth. And I was just thinking, my mind keeps going back to the ones that was living in the tombs, in the graveyard, and how they just seem to have maybe been disconnected from life and how you're trying to reconnect them and bring them out of that darkness. You know, in the Bible, Jesus encountered a man that was living in the tombs. And I thought about that. I said, man, you know, things are still, you know, things are still going on like that. Right today.
Yes.
And Jesus prayed with him, and that man got covered. And he said, "No, don't go with me. Go back to your family." And I said that, you know, as you ladies are sharing the gospel with the young people that you encounter, as they've been empowered and as they've been restored, they can go back and tell their family and their friend and other people that are like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is help.
There is one word that is very important to even here in America. That young women, please, if there is some misunderstanding in your family, do not run away. Do not expose yourself to this kind of life, because it is very painful to you and to your future, to your mind, to your heart, to your spirit, that this experience, this is what I would like to say. Hey, always there are some contentions, there are some problems, but you can always talk it out with your family. And there are other ways over here in America to resolve things. And there are so many options. Do not run away. Do not trust a person that you have met online only for you to be found that you have been victimized with human sex trafficking. The love of the family, the love of God, the love of friends that have your future in their heart. Take it that way. Do not run away for a promised thing of any man or any predators or any people that will make your life so miserable. So I beg you and I pray for you that this, sometimes there's some squabbles and you run away. Don't do that. Never do that. Because once you are victimized and dragged out there, it is so hard to come back, although it's possible, but don't expose to yourself. That's all I could say, that do not go to that place. It is not safe out there.
Oh, that is so true. That is so true. Sunshine and Velma, thank you very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I cannot express
so
in words the joy that I have for you being a guest on the program, how you have showed, how you have poured yourself into this ministry, how you have willing to let some things go for God. And I think about as you go over there, you're not, you know, the things that we're accustomed to, you know, did you let those things go so the work can go forward?
Mm-hmm.
We pray that God continue to bless you and the things that you put your hands to do in the lives of our young people. As we get ready to depart, we will encourage you to keep doing what you're doing, encourage you to listen to this program again, to encourage yourself that God is doing great things, how he could take a nobody and allow them to tell everybody about Christ Jesus. We all have things in our life that we're challenged with. And our program says being free on the inside. I am encouraged that you ladies are being free on the inside to do the things that God allows you to do. Because as you share this here, some people don't want to hear it. Some people